You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your host John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone's Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
I told you so. Raw came in hard, destroyed SmackDown.
Destroyed is a little strong.
We decimated you. Came in strong, finished strong. You had no chance, you big loser.
It was a pretty even.
You lost three to four. You lost. We're champions.
We won.
Decimated. Owned it. I don't need. It's
three. It was three. We won three.
Don't raise your fist to me.
We all know what happened last time. Hey, this can happen again.
The only reason I even came back was to rub it in your face how much better Raw is than SmackDown.
I mean, I'm surprised I was able to get out of the hospital. You beat me so bad.
I'm still limping and wishing that I could have a different type of bag than colostomy. Is it that the door?
We have a door on this bunker?
Well, I mean, how else would we get in and out?
I've just been living here.
That's why it smells like ass and Cheetos.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'll get it.
Get it.
Who is it? Is it Mr.? Mr. BS, sir?
What?
Mr. Is it? BS is here.
The CEO of all things Take Two, Mr. BS, is here?
Mr. BS is here.
Oh, shit.
Excuse me, gentlemen. But I know everything that happens around here. I've got eyes and ears in all places, and I know all about this Take Two takedown that you boys have been running. I know all about you breaking into my basement, calling it your studio. And I know all about Take Two Podcast and how you've been running our brand through the mud.
But
I frankly am just... Do not say words! I am disgusted and I want to hear a peep out of either one of you. John, I gave you one job. Well, let's be honest. You've run Raw into the ground, and Craig, don't you sit there with a smile on your face because SmackDown is atrocious and I call it on you. The way the two of you have conducted yourselves has been ridiculous. We might as well bring the Brooklyn Brawler back out here to run things because you two had one job. That was to promote the brand of Take Two Podcasts, and this is how you treat your employer. You two are on thin ice, and you better work out your differences right now, boys. Come together and figure it out. Find a way to coexist and fix what is this Take Two takedown, or else I'll find the Dudley boys to run the podcast from here on out. They'll get the tables. And you two will be fired.
All right. So, you know what this means, right?
I mean, it can only mean one thing.
If we're ordered to, it's got to be...
The Festival of Friendship!
Matching tracksuits.
We get to share sundaes.
We can order the same nuggets.
Milkshakes. One milkshake, two straws.
I'm gonna paint a picture of you on the ceiling.
Ooh, like the Sistine Chapel.
Yes, like the Hand of God painting.
Right, but it's just me and you touching fingers.
Touching fingers.
I'm gonna sculpt a statue of you.
I'm gonna make a 3D image where I am Elliot riding a bicycle and you're E.T. sitting in my front basket and we're riding together.
Thanks to Mr. BS, the CEO of all things Take Two, forcing us into...
Festival of Friendship!
Friends through each other.
So I think we can easily do what we can to talk about Survivor Series.
Well, how about this?
Okay.
We will agree to be gentlemen while we talk about Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And in a gesture of good faith, I would like to comment on SmackDown in the appropriate manner.
Oh, and then I can cover Raw, and we can talk about things that we enjoyed about each other's shows.
Yes, we promise to be polite.
I am very okay with it.
Delicate gentlemen.
Delicate gentlemen.
Fisticuffs away.
Fisticuffs away. Bring out the tea and crumpets.
Manners and decorum.
Always. Always,
phenomenal,
sir.
Shall we, sir?
Phenomenal. Let's start with the glory that was Survivor Series.
So, we made predictions.
We did. We did make predictions. And hopefully some of these people even listened to our special secret dark match episode that came out where we made predictions as well.
Shh. You can't talk about the dark match.
Shh.
It happens, but it doesn't happen.
And we never discuss it.
Stuff. So, Survivor Series. We open up Elias versus Matt Hardy.
I wasn't really super excited about this at all.
No, God, no, I wasn't either.
Like, there was nothing here that I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Well, see, here's my problem. Matt Hardy, we talked about, is obviously played out in my world. But I kind of like Elias, and I hope they do more with him. But right now, I think he's just holding a place until they can figure out a story for him.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and in that case, Elias wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could have both assumed with that. Matt Hardy's just a punching bag now.
Oh, yeah, especially without his brother, because the draw is, you know, Jeff Hardy, so.
Right, and the Hardy boys.
Boys. So.
And then we get into Kalisto and Enzo.
Who didn't see this one coming?
Who knew? Even in our hatred towards each other we had last week, I believe we both agreed that Enzo won. And we were right.
Even when we were fighting, we're smart.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't call this one, but what was your going into this? No, I mean, with the Festival of Friendship and us being fine, it doesn't matter who you thought win. I just want your opinion. Brizango?
Mm-hmm.
Brizango?
Brizango?
So I hate the name, but I gotta admit, I kind of like the team. I love all the little shtick sideshow things they do. It's great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, too.
But them against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
I think going into this, I was thinking Owens and Zayn with this push that they're doing with them where they couldn't get onto the team and, you know, they wanted them to keep moving forward. You gain nothing from all of that if you had them lose to Brizango.
Right, and I mean, I think we can talk about it now. I didn't foresee this, I'll be honest with you. I know having Zayn and Owens on the show, basically, like I said, I didn't know it from the get-go, but after I saw it, I was like, oh, pretty sneaky, sis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But having them on the show, giving them like a dark match opener, I was kind of wondering, like, why would you have someone like Owens and Zayn in a dark match?
Right, yeah.
But later on in Survivor Series, they play a key role.
Exactly.
So,
and the fact that they were there now makes sense.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
It's almost like they planned shit out.
I would have gone with Owens and Zayn as well. However, like I said, I do like Brizango. I don't dislike them. I'd like to see more wrestling, less horseplay.
Yeah. And I don't know how much you're going to get out of them, though, for that.
And it's fine.
It's fine.
But I just think those two characters with where they're at, that's about the top of their game.
Yep, pretty much.
And then the show opens up.
It was a great opening.
This is the one, like, I think this, let's be honest, I was looking forward to most of these matches, but this was probably on the top of the list.
Yes, Shield versus New Day was definitely top two, probably.
As we fought about it, and I was all about the Hounds of Justice and being serious and dark and ready to reap revenge and right the wrongs and all that stuff, I have to admit, I was jealous of your unicorn powers. I love the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are probably the most electric team in all of WWE, be SmackDown or Raw. I think they are very talented, and to watch them, I am entertained both in the ring and out of the ring. I have always been a huge fan of Kofi Kingston. I grow to be a bigger fan of Xavier Woods all the time. Big E is Big E to me.
Yeah, he's whatever. He's the fun part.
He's a goofy muscle.
Exactly.
I get it.
Exactly. But I mean, same with the other way. As much as I was promoting New Day and their unicorn powers and stuff like that, I do love me some Shield.
I got super excited when they got back together. As anybody knows that listens to these past episodes, I do love me some S.H.I.E.L.D. I unapologetically love me some Roman Reigns. Like, you know, I am all for the S.H.I.E.L.D. getting back together. And this was, that's why I think this match, while it's hard to think of who I would want to win, I enjoy watching it so much because both teams were just so good.
It was a good match. My prediction easily was the S.H.I.E.L.D. because, one, we just got them back together after five-year hiatus.
Right.
Two, we just get Roman Reigns back from the injured reserve. And three, it was a Raw team.
Well, you know, that's what you got to take.
You know what? I apologize. That was ungentlemanly of me. I would say of the two, their athletic prowess was better, in my opinion, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can accept that. That's an acceptable description of the event.
I apologize. I was catty for a moment.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We got to stamp it down before Mr. BS comes back in here. We don't want him in here again.
Because we want him to know it's...
the Festival of Friendship! Friends through eternity, loyalty, honesty, will stay together through thick or thin.
All right. So after the S.H.I.E.L.D. beats the New Day, and it was a great match.
It was. It definitely was.
We got into the women's Raw team versus the SmackDown women's team. And this was a good match.
It was. This was more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
I was worried that it was just going to be like, let's pretend to have a slobber knocker and a couple people get thrown out, and then all of a sudden Nia Jax is standing there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And just over top of everybody. Yeah.
I mean, I love watching the show, and... I was so heartbroken when my dream girl, my imaginary wife, Becky Lynch, whom I love you, Becky Lynch, was the first one out.
Yeah, I was surprised, especially being the captain, that she was thrown out so early.
Yeah, I don't know if they are playing her down because they're going to give her another push, or if she's just on an off track.
That's a nice high hope for you to that they're playing her down to then push her up again. That's good hopes for you to have.
Well,
your
I mean,
girlfriend.
You know how they will take.
I know.
And they want to do a rebranding of the character, so they'll bring him out.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she won't be steampunk Becky Lynch anymore.
I like steampunk. I love everything Becky Lynch. Let's be honest. Like her last night in the little denim jacket, they had a little Ed Hardy looking thing. I was like, I want you.
What were you like?
I was like, I want you.
I thought Fandango had shown up in here for a second, but it was just you.
It was just me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all me, folks.
All you.
All me.
All you.
So it turns into a good back and forth bout. And I will say this, and I think I mentioned it before. When you have a powerhouse like Asuka on your team,
yeah,
I would say that pretty much gets you to a win.
Yes.
You don't play up 538 days undefeated in NXT, bring her up and have her undefeated in WWE just to have her lose in a five-team match.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think at least not her.
At least not her. And I think the fact that they ended up showing her as the only one left, they're promoting that even more.
And it was a 2-on-1, and she wins it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was a good match, and I liked a lot of the movement and the flow of the match. It was really good, especially, and I don't want to sound sexist or anything, but especially for a women's match, because we've talked about it. They seem disjointed at times.
Mm-hmm.
But this one really worked for me. I loved when Tamina and Nia Jax were in the ring together.
Yes.
Like family fighting family.
Right, exactly.
I don't know why it was, but to watch them trade headbutts was like, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
I'm such a wrestling nerd. He's so cool watching them headbutt each other.
You're so cool.
But it was a really good match. So I was happy with that one. Then we get to The Miz and Corbin.
This is at least where, you know, SmackDown represented and won a match for the first time.
I know, but I will apologize. I did not give SmackDown the credit that Corbin would beat Miz.
Yeah.
Miz, to me, is at the top of his game, both on the mic, in the ring. I just did not see Corbin winning that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bit surprising, but I'm glad that he did. And, I mean, it's one of those things, too. It's similar to Dirty Deeds. I can watch that End of Days move.
I love the End of Days move.
Over
and the Deep
over
Six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What surprised me most about this match was Corbin usually seems a little hokey or slow or like a little disjointed when he's wrestling. But, like, he was full on through the match, hitting the moves, selling the marks, doing whatever he had to do. And I was really taken aback with this match.
Yeah, I think both of them showed really strong in this match.
To have Maurice at ringside, I thought, oh, that's a sure lock for The Miz winning this.
Right, especially with everything that they had done on the social media with Corbin against her and stuff. Like, yeah. But I was surprised. Every once in a while, the WWE actually surprises us.
I was a little surprised.
And Corbin winning was a bit of a surprise.
But it was a really good match.
It was.
Then we get into the Bar versus the Usos, the tag team match. I said...
yes, please.
Okay, so I like the Bar. I like the Usos well enough. Mm-hmm. Neither one of which are my favorites.
Agreed.
But they're good enough. I like watching them. They're entertaining. I think the Usos have had some amazing matches.
Yes, yes.
But the comparison of the Usos to a Sheamus and Cesaro, not like something I would look at or look forward to in my book. Like, I don't, like, there's nothing there for me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even with the Bar, I mean, I enjoy them. I enjoy Sheamus and Cesaro, but I feel that, like, both of these two teams, without having the belts on, really wouldn't have been that much of a draw. You know, Shield and New Day don't need belts, and that's still a fight you want to watch.
Right, and that's why I think the Bar got the belts.
Right, the Bar and Usos fighting each other, they need the belts to have this be something that's so more interesting.
My whole thing is, and I'm sure I'm pretty much 100% on this, is they were letting Dean and Rollins hold the belts until they figured out if Roman was going to make it. If not, they would have a title match so they could still be. But with Roman coming in, all of a sudden, this huge flare-up of New Day, and we're good. Mm-hmm. So
I think you're 100% right there.
I'm pretty sure. But so the Usos go on to win. There were some really good parts of this match, but some of it's a little disjointed to me. This was one of those matches, I think, when we were arguing about it, I even said, if the WWE is going to throw anything to SmackDown, it would be a match like this.
You did. You did. So, you were right.
And now I'm going to proceed the next match with if SmackDown was going to win any of these matches, it would be this match.
Like a legitimate
win. And that would be the Queen Charlotte versus the Goddess Alexa Bliss.
Right, right.
Now, I'm a huge fan of both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're both beautiful women, and it is great to watch them in the ring. They both sell and do the moves and are really good in the ring.
Yeah.
I was excited to see them in a match together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know about you, but do you get the feeling that Charlotte basically gets beat up just like her dad?
Mm-hmm.
Then comes back like a magic little moment and wins the whole thing, just like her dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then is all teary-eyed and emotional about it, like it was her firstborn child or something. And
right.
Mm-hmm. Like, Charlotte, you're better than that.
Right,
like,
exactly. I mean, I enjoyed Alexa's Bliss in this. I enjoy the Alexa Bliss heel work that she's been doing. Like, I think that's been really good. I think she's been really good at that. Seeing Charlotte winning was sort of, I agree, it was something most people saw coming, apparently except for her, because, like you said, it's, like, the first time she's ever won every single time. Like, and, I feel she is one of their strongest wrestlers
on the
entire WWE roster, and yet they're still showing her to be in the same match, like you said, pretty much every single time.
She has got the personality. She has got the acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
She has got the physical prowess. And she has got the strength to be what she should be as WWE's number one female wrestler.
I agree. I agree.
I would even put her in contention with an Asuka. And the reason why I am so enamored with Asuka is not more so how good she is, but more so how bad everyone is compared to her.
Yes, exactly. But I think, and I feel that I appreciate that the WWE did not immediately go into Charlotte versus Asuka for something like this.
Build it.
Yeah, build this. I feel that is something they can build over time, slowly, which I know WWE is not really known for. But they can build to something where that will be an epic women's division match at some point.
I would look forward to that.
Yeah. I agree. And then we get into, which with everything, I still think was my favorite match of the night.
Oh, I'm listen. I got to put all the acting and shtick aside. I was probably the biggest naysayer in this match. I'm like, how dare you, WWE, insult me, a fan, with throwing little AJ Styles at big old Brock Lesnar? And I mean, you and I made the joke of the only way he's going to live is if he gives him Lyme disease or something. And I was really thinking this was going to be one of those throwaway matches.
Right.
Like, this would just be an intro into who would be Brock Lesnar's competition at WrestleMania.
Exactly. But I think it was amazing. Like,
oh, my God. AJ Styles is truly phenomenal.
He is. He is. And it showed, especially when he's against somebody that large in comparison to him. And by midway through that match, you totally believed he could win this thing.
Like, he might have a shot.
Yeah.
Like, he was knocking Brock around a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at first when it came out and Brock just started throwing him around and stuff, I'm like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah, right.
Here it comes. And then AJ started making a little push here and there. He'd get knocked back down again, but he kept getting up. And just the whole story aside, just to watch AJ Styles perform in the ring, I think Paul Heyman summed it up the best in his that's got to be a moment for us.
I think we both agree that has to be our moment for this week.
But I mean, just AJ Styles personifies everything we want in a wrestler today. He's fast, he's talented, he can talk on the mic, he looks good, and he has the ability to perform every night.
Yep.
So he is probably the quintessential superstar of WWE. What holds him back is just size.
Yeah.
He's a little fella.
Yeah, and they have been so, you know, without trying to say the same thing over again, they've been so big on big guys, you know, recently with people like Brock and Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns, you know, giant guys, that it makes somebody who's, I mean, Styles is not like a small dude. He's just small in comparison to everybody else. He's small
in comparison to them. So.
Right.
But this by far was way beyond anything I expected this match to be, to the point where I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I even wrote down in my notes, like, you know, when AJ Styles gets out of the F5, I think it's called a calf crusher.
Into the calf crusher,
When he got out of that, like, it was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Not only did he reverse the F5, but he took it into one of his finishing moves, his submission move, which is a calf crusher.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a fan, like, sitting there, oh, this could be it. And Brock, I am amazed. Brock is usually like the, I'm going to throw you around, and the only time I hit, I'll frown a little bit. Kind of like I may have farted or smelled something bad. But end all be all, like, Brock is really, like, selling the calf crusher and all that. And kudos to Brock. He, like, really brought everything to that match.
Yeah.
So I liked it. Now, being a perfectionist, there was some stumbling around. And, like, when he caught him for the final F5, you could tell Brock lost his foot.
Yes.
But, I mean, you played it. It was good. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
it was probably my favorite match of the night.
I would agree. Even with Lesnar winning, still say it's my favorite match.
Excuse me. I thought we were being gentlemen.
Sorry, we're gentlemen. Gentlemen. Back to my tea and crumpets.
Yes, gentlemen.
And then we get into the final match.
Extend your pinky.
Extended.
Okay.
And then we get into our final match, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown Men's Division.
So, Raw wins. I'm sorry. One faction outdid the other.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, do tell.
Do tell.
So Raw goes ahead and they wind up winning, but not without cost.
Right.
We have Triple H coming in being his normal Triple H elf. Mm-hmm. He pissed off not only Braun Strowman, not only Kurt Angle, but probably pissed off his brother-in-law Shane.
Yes, with a whole bunch of pedigrees. Yes.
Just beating the snot out of people. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, I like Braun Strowman a lot. I like the character. I like his ability and his strength. He is probably one of the fastest big guys I've ever seen. With that being said, I don't think the WWE is doing him justice.
Yeah, I feel like there's more.
Like, let him be the monster among men. But I think one of the biggest problems WWE always has is they will take one, two, maybe three, four characters and make them too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have your Rock. You have your Stone Cold. You now have your Brock Lesnar. what competition is out there for Brock Lesnar? The only thing I can see them doing is bringing in a Kane and trying to make that work. The only one left is Braun Strowman. What comes after Braun Strowman? Right. You better find the next big thing.
Exactly.
Like, are you hoping Big Cass comes back anytime soon? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, what's the next?
And then
the
you're going to build them up quickly and, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you can only have that size people fight so long. Your new style wrestler is more the Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles. Yep. You're even looking at a Finn Balor. Like, you have a Finn Balor wrestling at, what, 215, 220?
Yeah.
And he's wrestling 300-pounders? Yeah. Samoa Joe, I think, was the best match for Brock Lesnar, and you played that off.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. I think that was a wasted opportunity, and it's going to be interesting to see how this moves forward into past WrestleMania, like what they're going to choose to move.
But we digress.
We do.
We are not talking of the match.
No.
The match on the red side, we had Kurt Angle, Triple H, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman.
Yes.
For the blue team, we had
John Cena, Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
That is not a comparison team.
No.
Usually when you,
not.
When you pick a team, you don't try to pick your favorites as much as what would match up to the other team.
Right. Like, oh, they got a big guy. I'll choose a big guy. Like, they got a small guy. I'll choose a small guy.
Yeah.
That's not what they did.
No,
that's not what they did. And as we mentioned before, even with all that, you still had the Owens and Zayn come in.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they were very upset with Shane for not putting them on that team, and they showed it by tossing his ass over top of the tables. And
Shane turned the card with the chair, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Beat him, sent him packing, and then Shane got pedigreed.
Right, yeah.
Face down in the mat. So, what do I predict coming out of Survivor Series? I see a few things. I see Brock Lesnar will lose the belt at WrestleMania. I don't know to whom, but he will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I see that person may be Braun Strowman.
I could see that.
I would appreciate a slow build on that, though.
Right. Right.
Play out the thing with Kane, keep moving forward, but always have him like sights on Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
I would see hopefully something more with Jinder Mahal. I think they did him a raw deal when they were like, hey, you're not popular enough to carry this into Brock Lesnar. Not that I think he should have a belt or be the champion or anything like that.
Right,
I just don't want Jinder to go wayside because I think that character was really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because you are so gracious and will allow me to speak of SmackDown, I will get to talk more about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at that point.
Yes, because I do see more with them moving forward.
In our Festival of Friendship! Friends through eternity, loyalty, honesty, will stay together through thick or thin. You have agreed to speak of Raw.
I do, so I will speak of the Raw that showed that occurred right after Survivor Series, which I think was good. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot of parts of it. There were things that I was actually very surprised about that we'll get into that I, you know, as we've discussed, I don't really follow much of what's going on behind the scenes. So people showed up that I did not know would be showing up.
Yeah.
but we start with Stephanie McMahon coming out, introing, saying how proud she is of her Raw team and that Kurt's job is 1000% safe and he doesn't need to worry about anything. She introduces her lovely husband who comes out to still probably one of the best entrance songs.
Oh.
Every time you hear it, like, it's so good.
Come on, Motorhead singing anything.
Exactly.
And then you get them to sing King of Kings.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
Good. It's so good. But before he even talks, Kurt Angle's music comes on. He comes out. He tells Stephanie to shove her job because he's coming for Triple H. He's going to get him. Because he's all upset.
Yeah, if you ever do that again, you're going to pay.
And we get his beautifully crying son to come out again and interrupt and, you know.
And he goes,
my dad.
You can't fight my dad. Let me fight him.
I'll fight you. Like, yeah, so that was
And then when that happens, whose music hits?
Good old Braun Strowman.
And for a man who never backs down from anything, kind of looks like Triple H. I'm not going to say he backed down.
Right.
I'm going to say he made a strategic retreat.
Right. That's what it looked like, which leads me to maybe WWE is actually going to take their time with a Strowman, Triple H, Brock Lesnar kind of thing.
I I don't know if I'm talking from the heart or from the mind here, because I would love to see, and I think we may see, tension between Stephanie and Triple H against Angle and Jason.
I could see that. Family against family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we either...
But then how do you... Where does that go? How do you fight? You're not going to fight those four together.
No, you're not. Yeah. But, I mean... You can have him have to face the son, and then because he beat the son, the dad says, that's it, it's on. And, I mean, that's a pay-per-view match.
That's true.
Angle
that's
against true. Triple H.
Yeah, yeah.
And because they're doing pay-per-views, what, every other Friday?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Plus twice on Thursdays.
Yeah, you'll need something. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I can see that happening.
I can see that definitely happening.
But Braun comes in, faces down Triple H, sends him packing.
Sends him packing. So it's quite interesting. And then they announce, which we'll get into later, which is Braun Strowman versus Jason Jordan later on that night.
Yeah.
But that was sort of more towards the end of the night.
So as they were friends together, kind of like we are now.
Kind of,
best
yes.
Best friends ever.
Best friends!
I mean, we even have a new theme song.
We do, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, it's we didn't good. Steal it from any movie or anything.
Nope, not at all. It's a great song. We wrote it ourselves.
But anyway, so they were able to work together on the five-man team, but...
But that's over now.
That's it.
That's over. That was then. This is now.
History. What do you got, Craig?
So then we get into Balor versus Samoa Joe, which I enjoy. I enjoy watching both of these guys fight, especially when they're together.
I love watching them fight together. Yes. They play each other up so much. Every strike, hit, hold, whatever you have is sold, and I love it.
Do you think that is because of their time together in NXT?
Absolutely.
I would 100% agree. Like,
absolutely.
If you can tell the difference, I think it's becoming more obvious when you're telling the difference between the NXT people that are coming onto WWE main roster and the non-NXT people.
Yeah, I think I fully agree with you, Craig. If you're coming from the NXT, it's like the old adage of if you learn to dance together, you can always dance together.
Agreed. Agreed.
So... Yeah, absolutely. And I love the idea of people coming out of the NXT into the upper echelons of the WWE Raw and SmackDown shows.
Yeah, and I think that they've proven with the ones that they have brought up, the Kevin Owens, the Sami Zayn, the, you know, even the starting out with people like the Oscars. I mean, it draws a crowd. People get it. Whether they watch NXT or not, people get excited for them.
Right. Absolutely.
And then that gets us into, speaking of, that gets into Asuka versus Dana Brooke, which I think there was a fight going on, or it could have just been a complete beating. I'm not really sure which one it was.
Asuka whipped Dana Brooke's ass, but
so let's badly. Be honest,
why did this match happen?
Because
Dana Brooks overreached.
She did. And Dana Brooks had her little segment where she's talking about how important she is and how badass she is, and she got taken down pretty quickly.
But just remember, though, she is a Raw performer, so...
She is.
She's pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome because of that. And then we get into Ambrose versus Sheamus.
It's no joke. Dean Ambrose is one of my favorites.
Right. We all know that. We all agree to that. And this was good. I mean,
it was a good
fun match to watch. It was nice. It wasn't the best of the best. We're not talking Balor Samoa Joe level here, but you know, we're not talking something that I could care less about, like an Elias versus Matt Hardy. So
absolutely,
this is right in entertainment middle of Raw show match. Like this is what I want.
I would say like kind of like a nice little breather. Like you want that. Club mascot running out there in the seventh inning and entertaining me a little bit. It's like, it was good and I liked it. I don't want to see it all the time, but it was good and I liked it.
Exactly.
And I will admit something, being a Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, the Shield fan and all this, and being a follower of the bar, I'm tired of it just being them two.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You wrestle each other individually, you wrestle each other as teams.
Yeah.
Pick up, move on, go forward, do something else.
Do something else. Yes. And then we get into, as I mentioned, a surprise that I did not see coming, because I don't follow this kind of stuff. You are a little better about it, so maybe you did. But we get into Alexa Bliss coming out, saying, you know, even though she's lost, she's still the goddess of Raw, and everybody should respect her, and, you know, that she is the best of the best.
And the shark smelt blood.
Yes, they did. So, you know, people came out. You had Angle announce a fatal four-way with Mickie James, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, and Bayley deciding who's going to be the number one contender. The fight goes on, and then all of a sudden,
whose music hits?
freaking Paige.
Paige coming out with, I can't tell if it's too much lipstick or fake lips. I don't know which one it was.
Paige is coming out. I did not see it coming. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if you did.
Hey, best buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Bestest friend in the whole wide world.
Yeah, buddy boy.
Festival of friendship friend
for
life.
For life.
Who came with her?
She also brought two people from NXT with her. She brought Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, which I will admit I recognized from watching like bits and pieces of NXT. I did not know their names right off the top of my head.
Oh, I look forward to watching them move up. I hope the WWE does them, and I'm not seeing or, you know, saying that there may be more that have shown up.
What?
I hope that the WWE treats them right.
Yes.
I think this new batch of talent can bring a lot more to the presentation and performance of the women's division of WWE.
Right. And what I'm hoping, and I think it's what we've talked about, where we want to see more out of the women's divisions on both Raw and SmackDown, is we may possibly get to the point where, I'm just going to throw it out here, more than one woman match a night may actually start occurring, at least on Raw. I don't know if they're going to fit it into 2 hours of SmackDown, but with this potential, you could possibly have more than one woman match a night.
You and I were both huge fans of when Charlotte and Sasha Banks headlined, and I forget what pay-per-view it was, but they headlined it. It was the first time ever it was a women's match for a title.
Hell in a Cell?
Maybe?
I think it was Hell in a Cell. I seem to remember being in a cage, wasn't it?
I think yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But we were super stoked for it. Yeah. We're like, this is awesome.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and I haven't been that excited since Lita and Trish Stratus were going at it.
Right, right. And I think that's the point that I'm hoping that they're getting back towards. And with the way the NXT takeover, if you want to call that again, came in, they freaking decimated all four of them, plus Alexa Bliss hanging out in the backstage. Okay. So.
And I know we don't talk about it a lot or at all, but NXT is awesome in and of itself. And they just went through this whole War Games special, which, like, I was amped up for. I watched it. All the wrestlers were amped up for. And it had this whole, like, dirty, gritty battle mentality. And I think the female NXT stars coming in WWE brought that with them. And I feel a little energized, and I wanted to keep going.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
But those three come in, decimate everyone.
Decimate.
Own it. Announce, like, hey, bitches, we here.
Bitches, we here, and we taking over.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Then you get into Braun Strowman versus Jason Jordan that they announced earlier in the show.
Daddy.
Oh, no.
But throughout the whole show, he's walking around backstage right. Going, I'm not fully healed. My knee's not really healed. Okay.
He's making excuses before the match even starts, right?
But listen, Jason Jordan, you're not all that. And we would never pick you as winning against Braun Strowman. No.
Well, even if he was 100%.
I was impressed he picked him up.
Yeah. That is impressive, especially when you're not able to support yourself on a broken knee.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed with that. But then who comes from behind him? The big red machine, Kane.
Oh, yes.
Strowman with the steel chair.
Right in the throat.
And Strowman's like, I can't breathe, but don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
I'm sorry, if I get hit in the throat with a steel chair, I'm going to be like, give me a fucking ambulance.
Get me a fucking doctor. Exactly.
Strowman's way too tough for that.
Way too tough. Then we get into cruiserweights, which I think we've discussed. You know, I'm not a massive fan of the cruiserweights since they've come to Raw. But Enzo comes out. He starts gloating about retaining the belt and all that.
How great it is to be on the Zoe train.
Right. And then you get, every other person who's on cruiserweight now come out?
Yep, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much. And they all just fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Except for Kalisto. He wasn't there.
Kalisto wasn't there, no. No Kalisto.
There's a big slobber knocker in the middle of the ring. Right. And Enzo kind of just scoots up and leaves.
Right, scoots away and leaves. Exactly. But you have Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, Tozawa, and Mustafa Ali beating Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, Daivari, and Dar. So, you know.
I know that's what happened. He's useless.
Yeah, exactly.
He reminds me of the little bugs that land on shit. Like, I always see him attached to shit.
To just to straight shit.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
I'm okay with that.
And then
because we needed it, we have almost a refresh of what happened at the kickoff show, which Elias sitting there singing and then saying how he had beat Hardy in the kickoff show that nobody watched because most people don't.
Usually I'm getting my pizza delivered before that comes up.
Exactly. But he's singing about it. Hardy shows up. They start to fight, and then Elias flees and leaves.
He runs away.
Runs away. Like a little biatch.
So I don't know where that's going, and I don't know if I could run away from Matt Hardy. I'd be running away from, like, a cleaned-up crackhead clown.
Right. Do you need to run away, or do you just kind of shift direction, and then they fall on their own faces? Yeah,
exactly. So we're in the same boat.
Right, right, yeah.
I mean, but he's a Raw superstar, so he's great.
Right, he's great. He's great. That's what you meant.
Festival of Friendship.
And then, which the Intercontinental Championship match of we had Roman Reigns versus The Miz, I'm going to act surprised. I didn't know Roman Reigns was going to win it.
The foreshadowing was on the wall when they come down, the Miz Taraji's in the middle of the ring, the Shield comes down, and they're talking about, we're going to get our title, our tag team title belts back. And then all of a sudden, it was like, well, if you get a belt, I want a belt.
Right.
And they said, well, Miz has got a belt, why don't you take his?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of the two stars, I'm going to put two things out there. Of the two stars, the Miz is much more entertaining than Roman Reigns.
I will agree.
However, I believe WWE may be doing it a little bit better now, but Roman Reigns is turning into a true individual, and I hope that he can be a character and not, like, just a pretty boy.
Right, not just a big dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, not, mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I knew he would win the belt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you are a more of a smark than me.
Oh, I'm much more of a smark than you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are a true fan. Don't get me wrong, my amigo.
Oh, yes.
My compadre. Hombre.
Compadre.
My friend for life.
Mm-hmm.
My life part. Wait, no. Wait,
no.
That's bad.
That's going too far, I think.
You would be, I would be the Tonto to your Lone Ranger. The Robin to your Batman.
Gotcha. You are the smarter one, and I just shoot things.
I'd be like the Watson to the Holmes?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know how these things work.
The Rick to your Morty?
I don't know. I've never seen that show either.
You're horrible.
I don't know. I'm watching wrestling all the time.
All right. So, Reign wins.
Reign wins. He's the new Intercontinental Championship. And they could have mentioned, what, 17 different times that he now has held all the three belts? Like, I don't think that could have been said more.
I don't need any more,
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
But then, that is how Raw ended. And now we can get into where I will be generous and let you discuss SmackDown.
My friend, I am so honored.
You know, this is what we're here
Thank for. Thank you for allowing me to talk about the show that was SmackDown.
The show that was El Smackathdown.
So sit back and I'll tell you a little story.
Ah, yes.
SmackDown opens up with one, Shane McMahon, thanking all of SmackDown for their effort, except for two ne'er-do-wells.
What?
Yes.
Who would he not like? Who could he be referring to? The Usos, maybe?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir. It would be one Kevin Owens and one Sami Zayn.
Oh,
those dirty D-doers.
Can I tell you, and I think I may have seen this from our friends at The Wrestling Life on their Twitter, there is nothing more entertaining to me than them coming out to Kevin Owens' rock song intro and Sami Zayn goofily ska dancing around him as they're listening to Kevin Owens' like hard rock intro. And Sami Zayn still does his stupid little ska dance around
As
it.
Much as I hate it, I still get like the whole visual of the little puppy dog
yes, that bounces exactly. around the bulldog. Exactly.
Hey, Kevin, what are we doing?
Let's go.
I'm in the same boat. And WrestlingLife.com, if you're hearing this, you nailed it.
Yes.
Straight on.
It was perfect.
So they come out, and they start talking about how awesome they are and how they deserve chances and that McMahon won't give it to them. McMahon turns around and says, well, I got two words I can give you. And right as he goes, you're... Daniel Bryan's music hits.
What?
Yes, 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 it does. All right, he comes out and he's like, time out, Shane.
Right.
I got a better idea. Let's torture him.
Yeah.
And they sign him to a lumberjack match with the New Day at the end of the show that right. your main event.
Yeah, which so, I'm okay with. I'm always a fan of lumberjack matches, so I'm fine with that.
I'm looking forward to it because it just, I mean, the way they sell it is now everybody in the locker room that's pissed off at you can beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
So good times, good times. So then we get into these ongoing little piddly pissant matches where they try to drag out the tag team stories by having one wrestle the other. Last week we had Jimmy Uso wrestling Gable.
Chad Gables, and this time we had the opposite.
Yeah, we had Jey Uso with Shelton Benjamin. And Gable lost his, Benjamin wins his.
Right.
Now, how do I feel about this? I think, comparably, Gable and Benjamin can be the same as the Usos. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're any better, but they can at least play up to that mark.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with this little rivalry going on.
Yeah, I enjoy it, and I think it's, this I feel is more what the Usos, like, level is of what they should be doing.
And as I'm watching it even more so, like, I'm still remembering, like, how enamored I was when I first saw Shelton Benjamin, and I don't really believe he's missed a step. Like, he is... When he's getting hit, it looks like he's getting hit on his face. And he just, like, he performs well in the ring.
He does. He does. Exactly.
So I enjoyed it. Benjamin wins. And then what happens?
What?
NXT TakeOver Part 2. So Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan attack Naomi backstage.
Attack her.
Why would they do that? I mean, she was just getting her makeup put on.
She was just doing something.
She getting her face did.
They said, no!
And they were like, I'm gonna beat the piss out of you. And they did. Now, I got, like, Ruby Riott? What the fuck is that thing?
I don't.
That's kind of like...
Scary is what that
half
is.
Half elf, half gremlin, half MMA fighter?
Yeah, with a little bit of, like, giant thrown in.
I don't know,
like, but... that Hagrid giant from Harry Potter?
Yeah, but it's, it's, like, weird. It's scary.
Yeah.
So I'm a little scared of her.
Yeah. And then they put some damage.
Don't say it.
On your love.
Don't say, Becky, I am here for you. Just tell me where to send flowers.
Yeah.
I know you are convalescing somewhere, I mean, and I will be more than happy to just help you out.
She tries to save her SmackDown partner.
Because that's who she is.
But she
that's why I love her. She is a giver.
She's got given a lot of punches to the face.
They threw her into a door. Then they proceeded to slam another door into her tummy and hurt her.
Yeah.
She was crying at the end. And I was crying too.
Are you going to be okay?
No. No, they hurt my Becky.
No. Do you want me to talk about the next match so you can recover a little bit? Because this one's also crying. This one makes me cry a little bit.
But then they hurt my boy Mojo.
I know.
I don't know if I can do it.
We had the triumphant review. Of pull yourself together, man.
I can't help it. They hurt my Becky and my mojo. Okay. 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 I think so, I'm better now.
All right. So
I miss you, Becky.
The Bludgeon Brothers finally debut, and they debut against our friends, really.
Mojo's like a buddy of the show. He just doesn't know it yet.
He doesn't know it yet. We've already planned this out. But the Hype Bros they go against, including one Mr. Mojo, and they get beaten really bad.
Mojo didn't even make it into the ring.
He didn't.
Luke Harper and Mark Rowan just threw him around and beat him up.
They did not care about him at all.
But I mean...
But I loved me some Bludgeon Brothers, though.
I was going to say, I mean, as much as I'm drying my tears right now on Vince McMahon's silk pillowcases that we stole.
Right, obviously.
Shh. I like this. I like the Bludgeon Brothers. I hope they keep them dark and just kind of like the big plowing force of SmackDown.
Right, they just come out and do this, and I'm totally fine with that.
Hells yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would feel honored if you will allow me to speak of one phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
I think you can, because this was pretty fun.
So AJ Styles comes out, takes the ring to uproarious applause.
Yep, because everybody realizes how great Sunday's match was.
I'm taken aback because normally he will talk about this is the house that AJ built and all this stuff, but he's talking about, like, I fought a hard match and I lost.
Mm.
And he said, But what amazes me is the respect that I garnished from you guys. And you were telling me how great a match it was and how well I stood up and that you, I was impressed. I'm an inspiration to you guys. Like, he gave it back to the fans.
He did. He did.
And as much as I was, you know, crushing on him after his match with Lesnar, that sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be his boyfriend now.
Right. You want to stand in front of his house with a boombox over top of your head playing his theme song.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But so he just gives it back to the fans, lets us own all the glory that was him that night. And, I mean, it's rare that performers can do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think what also sold it to me is you and I being huge Paul Heyman fans.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the clips about how he compares AJ Styles to, like, I told you, it's a definite lock. This will be our moment tonight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way he compares him and says that he is what wrestling needs to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fully agree. And I have buy-in. I don't know. Like, I love me some AJ Styles right now.
Yeah.
So, then who comes on the screen?
Oh, and the Maharaja himself.
The Maharaja.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, I knew Brock was going to beat you up.
Right. I saw it coming.
And AJ says, well, if you want a piece, bring it. Present.
Yes. So it came out. You saw that Mahal was going to be there. He wanted to fight on AJ, and AJ said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, no, no, no. I am way too important for that right now. I've got things.
I've got things.
I've got the whole nation of India resting on my shoulders.
Right. So he sends out DJ and Stephanie Tanner to fight him.
Forget that. Every time you bring up the Tanner reference, it just cracks me up.
So he sends him out, and AJ just destroys both of them.
Beats the piss out of them.
He really does. It's not even a challenge.
Oh, no, not at all. So it was great. Like, he's throwing him around. Like, I love the one where he grabs, I want to say it's Singh or Sin or whatever his name is, but grabs him by the foot and literally just drags him out of the ring and proceeds to fling him into the table. It was awesome. So, but, yeah, AJ Styles easily beats both of them. We know this is a build-up. It's probably going to be Clash of Champions. It'll be for the belt.
Yep.
I say AJ wins.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think AJ's going
to
win it.
So Naughty by Natty decides that she's going to invoke her rematch clause immediately.
Immediately!
And our next match is between her and the queen, Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I think we talked about it when they wrestled for the belt initially, and I will say it again this one. It was a very good match.
It was.
The
it
two
was.
Of them work very well together.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. But the match is going on. And then what happens?
Oh, we get that NXT TakeOver thing again.
Logan, Ryan, and Morgan come in and beat down on Natalya right outside of the ring.
Yep, and then they went inside of the ring and attacked Charlotte.
How do you beat up the queen?
I don't know, but they did it.
They're just trying to make a name for it. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get the bitch taste smacked out the mouth.
Me not, because it's one of those things. You're going to start some sort of rivalry like this. You put Charlotte and Natalya together.
Oh, it's on.
It's on, man.
On like fucking Donkey Kong.
Sure enough. Sure enough.
And then we have our main event.
Oh, the lumberjack match.
Lumberjack match. Wait a minute. Let me put on my flannel. Xavier Woods style. Because every lumberjack match needs a head lumberjack.
Yes. And I think we both agree that was one of our favorite parts of the match.
I don't know why that was so damn funny to me, but it was hilarious.
Freaking hilarious.
He's out there in a little red and black flannel and a ski cap, and I'm like the head lumberjack.
Let's do it.
So we got the whole card around the ring. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come in, and it's almost comical. Sami Zayn goes out. They beat him all up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Throw him back in the ring. Kofi Kingston comes out. It's like, hey, we're going to get some sandwiches. I was waiting for a trash can fire and doo-wop to break out. To which point, Sami Zayn tries to run away, and the whole group of lumberjacks goes and grabs him and carries him out crowd surfing style and throws him back in the ring.
That was pretty good.
But it was good. But I honestly thought the New Day would win.
Yeah.
And no, Sami Zayn winds up rolling up Kingston and gets him pinned.
Getting the pin, but then, you know, then the New Day comes and attacks him for how dare he beat them. So
yeah, and what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens runs out of the ring, runs and hides. Where's your buddy?
Where's your buddy?
They are not friends like
they
you and
I. They are not a true festival of friendship.
Festival of friendship. Right. Friends forever. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
The Zack Attack.
Friends forever will be friends for life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feeling that moment with you right now.
We can do that. We can totally do that.
I'm just letting you know. That's playing in my head as I...
We'll be friends for life.
As I look into your eyes.
Friends forever.
Thank you, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to end the show, Kevin is later seen begging for his job with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan said, I was never going to fire you.
Right.
At least not yet. You're going to have a singles match with Randy Orton next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's coming. I will put dollars to donuts that once Sami Zayn has a singles match with Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's what I was going to say. Is it going to be Shinsuke? I don't see it being Bobby Roode.
No, Bobby Roode, I think they're pushing a feud with somebody else, but no, I don't see Bobby Roode.
I see Shinsuke.
Shinsuke. It's enough to hold for a little bit so that we have something for Sammy and Shinsuke and Randy Orton and Zayn to do for Clash of Champions.
Right. So that's everything.
We did well.
So what do we think then after everything?
I know who my face of the week is.
Who was your face of the week?
My face of the week is you, because you are such a wonderful person and my best friend forever for life.
Oh, I feel so special.
That's what my face would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, my face of the week is Triple H, because I really thought I liked him a lot.
So that would be you?
I just wanted to not pick you.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just
kidding. We had a festival of friendship.
We did have a festival of friendship.
I painted a mural on the ceiling.
You're my face of the week.
Okay, so then I'll pick a heel of the week. Heel of the week? Real quick, I would have to go with the NXT women coming in.
Ooh, that's a good one. Just all six of them?
Just, well,
about five plus one.
Page.
Right.
I liked it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping more will come. So I will pick them as my heels of the week.
I like it. So heels of the week, NXT women, plus Paige. And Triple H, faces of the week, each other.
Yep, because we are besties.
Besties. Gotta love that. So.
What's your favorite storyline?
Favorite storyline? I think I'm going to have to borrow from you and do the NXT Women's Invasion, because I think this has potential to be very good.
It's a good call.
Yes.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to go with that too, but you already stole it, asshole.
Hey, we can share.
No. I can think of something else. What other storylines do I like right now? I like... where AJ Styles is at.
I enjoy that too. I enjoy that too.
I don't think now a rivalry between him and Jinder Mahal would work out. So I think it's a quick one match kind of thing and move on, build something up with somebody else. But for right now, I am really impressed with AJ Styles and looking forward to what's next for him.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can go into our local events.
Let's get into these local events. We discussed last week Right Coast Pro's newest events coming up. There's Strange Happenings on December 9th. The one where you don't know what's going to happen because every match has some sort of weird, strange stipulation attached to it. So it's always something different. It's always something fun. So that's over on December 9th. You're going to have our boy again, Big Gene Snitsky.
But now he's on a 2-on-1.
2-on-1 match? Oh, no, against Sir Spalding.
Harry M. Baldwin just threw in the towel.
He did.
I lost twice. I don't want to do it anymore.
You don't want to do it anymore. So Sir Spalding Savages are coming to take him, I guess. And maybe if they win, they just rip the belt in half. I don't really know how that works.
Who cares? Maybe it just goes to Sir Spalding and the Savages get, like, dinner for the night.
That's probably true.
I'll buy you delicious steak dinner, and I will tip the waitress.
And I will tip the waitress nicely. But you can get your tickets at rightcoastpro.com. You can go in there and buy your tickets for the December 9th event. And then we have Maryland Championship Wrestling's newest event coming up on December 1st. They're Seasons Beatings.
Seasons Beatings.
Which is just fun to say.
Now, I'm going to say this. You got your WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter there, and you won't be able to see him because he wears a suit that's camouflaged.
Right, you won't even know how to find. Somebody's going to point him out to you.
You're going to have to look for the moving bush, I think.
Right, yeah. And then our good boy who's always there, Mr. Joey Mercury. We got to love him. But this whole thing is actually a Toys for Tots event.
What?
So if you bring an unwrapped toy, not only do you get a goodie bag that has an autographed 8x10 of some former Maryland Championship Wrestling star that they had on, but you also get a raffle ticket to win a pair of second row tickets to the NXT event the following night out in Bel Air.
That sounds like a good deal.
You bring in a toy, you bring in some little kid, a doll, and you can get tickets to NXT and see Meryl Streep.
You're bringing them Christmas joy.
You're bringing them Christmas joy, and maybe you get wrestling joy out of it.
I think that's more than just a can of pumpkin pie filling. Like, go out and get a decent toy.
Go out and get a decent toy.
You know what? Let's change it into an event. Bring a wrestling action figure. Put it
ooh,
in there.
Ooh, yes. I feel all Toys for Tots that our fans bring to Season's Beatings on December 1st needs to be a wrestling-themed toy.
I would agree.
And when you do that, take a picture of it, show us. You can tweet it out to us on @Take2Takedown. We can see it, and we'll know that you did it, and we'll give you mad props, yo.
Mad props, yo. Yep.
But you can buy your tickets at mcwprowrestling.com. You can go in there and buy your tickets for that event.
Absolutely. So, obviously, throughout the whole entire show, the only thing that has stuck, or the most prevalent thing that has stuck with me, is Paul Heyman's speech about AJ Styles.
Yes, which was actually a WWE.com video that if you don't follow them on Facebook or you don't follow them on Twitter, you didn't see this, but it's great.
He literally says some wonderful things about AJ Styles. So here it is, folks. We're calling it a moment of love from Paul Heyman.
I'm shocked. Because I've been an AJ Styles fan since before I was supposed to be an AJ Styles fan. I watched AJ Styles before anybody here was supposed to watch AJ Styles. He is more phenomenal than he gives himself credit for. If you're not an AJ Styles fan, you shouldn't even be watching WWE. He's everything that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Ric Flair were to their generation, and he's updated it. He's evolved their styles to truly be the single most phenomenal in-ring performer I have ever had the honor and the pleasure of watching up close. I've been doing this my entire life. No one in the ring has ever compared to what I witnessed tonight when I had the best seat in the house and got to see AJ Styles up close. To you, sir, I have nothing but respect and admiration.
All right, there it was, your moment of love from Paul Heyman.
Oh, you got to love it.
Let's be honest. I mean, he hits the nail on the head with the likes of an AJ Styles.
He does. He does.
I think, and I'm going to say he kind of opened my eyes up a little bit to AJ Styles. I was getting overplayed, but now I kind of see what's going on. And he's right. AJ Styles is a consummate performer.
He is.
Probably the best in the field right now. So, talking about consummate performers and the best there are, let me send some shout-outs to our buddies. One, Jason Wilson from Resolution Alley. Always, our intro music. Fantastic individual. I know their album is dropped or is dropping, and you guys really got to listen to this stuff. It is good work.
Good S.
Freddie B, our hype man.
I mean, he's perfect. The Stone Cold intro may be one of my favorites now.
I love his New Day intro.
Mm-hmm. The New Day intro is pretty good, too.
Pretty awesome. And pretty good, too. I think we have yet to play the Rock intro.
We haven't done the Rock intro yet. He's done, so we might have to throw that in sometime soon.
We got to give mad props to Mom and Dad, where our commissioner, Mr. Right. BS.
Mr. BS came in. He let us know that we need to stay together, and we need to be part of our
Festival of Friendship. So, mad props to all those at Take Two.
Yes, and we actually, this past episode they just put out the other day, they dropped in our review of Ric Flair's 30 for 30. They dropped it into their weekly episode so people could hear it. So maybe we even got a few new listeners from there. Anybody wants to read it, we put the written review is up on take2podcast.com so people can read it and enjoy it there as well.
Bring it! So we're going to talk about if you guys want to get hold of us, because we love hearing from you guys.
Love it.
Our email account is take2takedown@gmail.com. Thank you, Craig. Two is spelt with two O's. So it's takedown@gmail.com. Because we put the O where, Craig?
We want to see O face.
We put the O in the O face.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you want to Twitter us, it's @Take2Takedown.
At @Take2Takedown on Twitter. You can tweet us, especially if you're going to go to this Maryland Championship Wrestling event. We'd love to see pictures of you there with your Toys for Tots wrestling figure.
And it may be that the person behind you is one of us.
Right, exactly. Look for us. We'll buy one of those cool Finn Balor masks I keep seeing at Target.
Ooh, I was going to go for the Triple H Kingslayer one.
Ooh, that's another good one.
Yeah.
That's another good one. But speaking of holiday gifts, you can actually go to take2podcast.com, click on the menu, you can find an Amazon link there. Buy all your holiday gifts. All you do is click on it, click on our link, and then you shop Amazon like normal. Right at the back end, Take Two gets a little kickback. Therefore, we get a little kickback. So,
you know what else has? What you can also get off of Amazon.
What is that?
Probably the 30 for 30.
Ooh, I believe you probably can. I believe you can. So get on there. You could watch it. You could enjoy it. You could love it.
And then read our reviews.
And then read our review of it. We are big fans of that idea. Nice thinking, Mr. John.
I'm just saying, Mr. Craig, as Festival of Friendship. Co-hosts, I feel that we wouldn't do our fans justice if we didn't give them the opportunity.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm glad that we were able to get together and finally bring this show back. Well, I was worried it was going to be gone forever.
I'm sorry that it took Mr. BS to come in here and straighten us up, but I'm glad he did.
I agree. I'm glad he did, too. I'm glad he did. Because together, we can accomplish so much more.
And I will probably never turn on you again until the next Survivor Series.
Right. I'm sure.
Or Raw SmackDown Shake-Up.
Right. So, 3 weeks, we'll probably fight again.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate you listening on here on episode...
Seven.
Wow,
we're three away from double digits, dude.
Man, that's impressive.
I know.
That is impressive.
I've spent more time on this than I did in childbirth.
Like when you were being born or when your kids were born? I'm not.
When my kids were born, okay. I spent, I mean, I think they're mine. I pay for them.
Right, yeah, at least majoritarily.
Majoritarily?
Right, that's a new word. That's a new word. Thank you for joining us, folks.
Bye, guys.
Later. Majoritedly, yes. Majoritedly so.
Retortedly.
Brian did mention last time, he's like, I don't really care. He's like, you might want to put something in your show notes that just says explicit language could be used. And I was like, well, he was like, you had a lot of fucks in that last one.
Did you see my old girl Becky Lynch get hurt by that one?
I did.
What the fuck is that thing that hit her? This show's gonna suck. You've got a friend
in me. This has been a production of WTTP Take Two Podcast. A WTTP. WTTP.
WK Two Podcast.
WK Two Podcast.
WT Two Podcast.
WTTP. WTTP.
WTake2Podcast.
WTake2Podcast.